welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 11. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're in Luke chapter 11 this morning. We've been doing a study in this particular book. And it's been very timely and meaningful. We started a little bit of a run from a couple chapters ago where we were talking about becoming disciples in a more deliberate way. This seems to be a narrative that continues to piggyback one chapter off the other and yet each standing on its own 2 feet. Last week when we were recording, my battery died at about 20 minutes, so it didn't make it on the radio. So just to recap for a moment, some things that we saw. We saw that the Lord Jesus sent out some disciples, 70 in number. He sent them out and he told them to go into homes and kind of make that his base of operation, if you recall. Very interesting because homes is something that God really does value first and foremost. That was the first institution, was the family, the home. And he says, go into the homes and if they'll let you abide there, let your peace be there. It was a lot of emphasis on peace. Because that's what Jesus came to make. He came to make peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so he sent them and he gave them a little tutelage before he sent them and told them you're going to have a tough time of it at times. You're going as sheep, in fact, among wolves. And sometimes you're going to actually have to shake the dust off of your feet because they're going to reject you. But you tell them even still that you have heard about the kingdom of God here and move on your way. Now that's a big order. So he begins to dress down a few cities. And when he dressed down those cities, that was giving those disciples who were getting ready to go a little fortification for the confrontation and chastening they were going to have to bring to bear on that generation. And he talked about Sodom. He talked about Capernaum. He talked about Tyre. We understood that those represented three things that really are very much that which will displace God in a society. And that was privilege, which is what Capernaum had. They were right smack dab in the middle of the blessing where Jesus himself had been trafficking for a while. We saw perversity in Sodom, and of course in Tyre and Sidon, they had a prosperity background. So those are things that can displace God. And we have all of those in America, all across the board. So we have to remember that he was fortifying them to let them know that when they were dressing down a society, that they were in really bad company because he says it's going to be more tolerable for the other places than for you. I'm just trying to make the point to let you know, he gave them fortification. You know, it's very hard sometimes to go into our world and mention hell and judgment because the world looks at us like a mule looking at a new gate. You know, they're like, what? Because they don't even believe anybody gets in trouble anymore, it seems. But he says peace. He says homes in the first section. Secondly, he had preparations. And he made preparations for the people to go. And part of the preparations, he rejoiced in spirit. He rejoiced in the fact that when they came back, they were rejoicing that the demons were subject to them. And he was happy. I mean, it's kind of an interesting little vignette of Jesus. He rejoiced in the spirit and said, God, I thank you that you've not revealed these things to the high and lofty, but to babes. He says, these guys get it. They're getting, look at their faces. They're lit up. They're excited about God. And so he was really rejoicing in the Spirit, and he was talking to God about that, and had regard for those disciples personally, and he gave them encouragement, and then reproved a lawyer. And so those were things. But when he reproved the lawyer, he was taking him to the Good Samaritan, you know, the man who found a man on the side of the road. So I'm just giving you that highlight, remember. And at the end, the Samaritan who was despised was likened unto himself, which the world would despise. And the man who was taken and beaten among thieves was like the people into whose homes these men would have gone in the last little bit. And then when he got them to the innkeeper, they were like innkeepers themselves. He gave them money. He gave them what the innkeeper needed, just like he gave the disciples what they needed. And then subsequently said, if there's any more charge on their account when I come, I'll pay it. That's Jesus in the picture. So the point is that he was preparing them because he was going to leave. He only had a 3-year ministry. So he had to get them up on their legs before he did that, right? And so he was preparing them. And they were to be hosts. Listen, that's us. If we're going to be disciples, we're going to have to be willing to be hosts and take the hit and be impoverished sometimes in one way or another. And then finally we saw proximity. And when I say proximity, I mean you got this situation where Jesus not only has sent them into homes, He goes into a home. He goes into the home of a woman named Martha. And you remember Martha and Mary and the whole serving thing, tell her to help me. Well, we have homes, we have hosts, and we have help. Jesus gives us help, okay? And when she said, make Mary help me, He says she's chosen the better part. She's right now, listen, she's right now, she's helping herself, okay? And that's the better part. And so proximity to the Lord is what's important. You spend time often at His feet. And so I say to you that as we continue into chapter 11, that's the run-in. He's just taken them along, and He saw a lot of things. He was rejoicing in spirit about what was going on, and then He had Martha and Mary, and probably had a good time in their home because they were great hosts. He found it a great place to go back to later. It was Lazarus, their brother, who died, and He raised back up from the dead. I mean, this was a great home. Although Lazarus is not mentioned at this point, we know he is part of that family. And so when you get to chapter 11 in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Now, when I say it like that, I want you to know I'm trying to communicate, teach us to pray. Why do I say it like that? Because they've heard Him comment on this in earlier days. If you were to take a harmony of the gospel, you would remember that the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 has a prayer, the one we conclude our services with of late. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? We know that. They've heard this. This happened sometime earlier. And He says, when you pray, pray like this. And He said that. And yet here again, they're just saying, yeah, I know what you said, but would you teach us to pray? Just teach us to pray. They wanted to. Do you know what that is? That's awesome. That's awesome. Teach us to pray. Wouldn't it be good if all the people of God would lean in and say, teach us to pray. Don't we feel the pressure right now to know how to pray in these crazy days where the wheels are coming off and life is getting difficult? And when we would come to church, we would think, teach me to pray. Well, the nice thing about going through chapter by chapter like this is that He does. Okay. And what you're going to see is this is the same prayer He used before, but He personalizes it and makes it something that they could personally apply. Before He was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount to people gathered to hear Him in mass, here He's got an intimate relationship with these guys where He spends a lot of time with them. And listen, they just came off of a wonderful campaign. They went out 70. They were having demons subject to them. There were blessings of many. Okay? And here He is. He's praying and they're saying, you know, we've done all this, but what are you doing over there? It's like me at a smorgasbord. You know, I have all the stuff I like on the plate. And Linda, I have one thing on it. What's that? What you got over there? You know, can I have a bite of that? And that's what it is, man. The more you get of Jesus, the more you want of Jesus. And they're saying, man, He seems to get a lot of encouragement and peace. He comes down, there's something different. I remember years ago, one of the older saints of yesterday used to write comments, talked about how that David, in reveling over the tabernacle, he says, I love your tent, so I just want to be back where the tent is, the tabernacle. And he talked about how the reason David would want to be there was because people would go into the tabernacle courtyard and they would be sad. And they would be burdened. But in a little while, they'd leave and they'd be glad. And they'd be relieved. You see, that's what Jesus does for us. And when Jesus was up on that mountain or in those places of solitude where He would pray, they saw He had something going on. And they said, teach us to pray. And He said unto them in verse 2, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. That's not how it's said over in Matthew. Why? Because this is a different writer. He's amplifying different things and He's speaking to a different context. Sometimes when you see something in the Gospels and you say, well, this was different than what I read over there, you have to remember there are different writers and God's using their personalities. And sometimes they're writing about a circumstance that sounds similar but is different circumstance. And that's what this is. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount next to the Sermon on the Plain, you'll see that. Here we're seeing it again. He used the Sermon on the Mount to give the first movement here, but he's an itinerant preacher. He couldn't record his messages and put them out there for money. Wasn't like that. He had to reiterate things again and again. And that was good for the disciples. And here he is reiterating a thing that they would recognize, but he tweaks it just a little bit because now it's becoming personal. It says he said unto them these things, and he said next in this prayer, it gets a little different. He says, give us day by day. Do you know there's a little difference here than saying, give us this day our daily bread. Why? Because what you get as you get to know God more is that you can trust Him for the future. So you don't have to worry about just praying, give us this day. You can say, give us day by day, because that's just we just know you're going to do that. Are you feeling that in your Christian life? If you've been walking with the Lord for a matter of years, maybe decades, you're beginning to realize, you know, He's always been there. And He always will be there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So now the prayer has got a little bit more sinew, a little bit more skin on it. And these guys are saying, okay. Because he knows what they're doing. They're coming off of a missions effort. And it was successful. And they just want more. They want to bask in the afterglow. And they're saying, teach us to pray. And he says, this is where you're going. Give us day by day our daily bread. So let's just get that taken care of right away. And he says, and forgive us our sins. You know what you find when you minister? You find what everybody else knows intuitively, but you find it more because you're out there in the throw of things. You find you're still a sinner. Yes, you're a saint. If you're a child of God, you're a saint. But when you get out there on the cutting edge of life and you're letting Jesus lead, you're going to find out that you've got an old flesh that's going with you. Romans 7, Paul talks about the body of this death that he carried around with him everywhere. We're told over and again, we need to crucify the deeds of the flesh, put to death the old man, that whoever is led by the Spirit of God will mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know, that's what being led by the Spirit of God says it is. I mean, by definition in Romans, it says he that is led by the Spirit of God mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Why? Because you see them more. The devil's going to come against you. You're going to be tweaked. You're going to look to the guy next to you and say, man, you let me down. 2 by 2, they went out. And so somebody got bumped and now they got to deal with that and it's hard. And so he's saying, listen, pray this way. Forgive us our sins for we also forgive. Look at that. It says in the Sermon on the Mount prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We know that Jesus talks about if you don't forgive men their debts, neither will your Father forgive you. Do you know there's a connectivity to us having free flow of the Spirit? And that is deliberately connected to us having unhindered hearts. He says, forgive us our sins because they be many, we could add in our own minds, right? For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Do you know where a gracious spirit comes from? It comes from knowing you've received grace. Now, it's like something you might have that you've never used, but you really meant to. We did our outside services, and everybody was excited. We came back after 2 weeks when they were going to flatten the curve. And guess what, folks? I got good news for you. We flattened the curve. But we came back, everybody was excited, but 3 or 4 cars' batteries died because they're trying to listen to the radio. And everybody who had jumper cables, had them for 10 years, never needed them, and you got to jump each other's car. Here's the point, is that we have a need to see our sin, and God will use being on the cutting edge to bring all that stuff to the surface so we can boldly say, Father, forgive us our sins just as we forgive those who are indebted to us.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.